Hi, I'm Becca Lewis, your host for Shift the Story podcast, where we share tips and tools for making shifts in our lives from the inside out. I am so delighted to share my lovely guest, Laura Molitor, with you. If you have ever been afraid to make a shift in your life, and then another, thinking perhaps that's too many shifts, Laura's story will cure that fear and make it exciting instead. Or if just making one shift seems hard, she makes it easier. As she reminds us, shifts are about becoming more of who you really are. It's going back to being childlike, ready to evolve into more of your true essence. Laura travels a varied and interesting road, broadcast journalism, writer, musician, practitioner. She brings them all to life, and I know you will love traveling with her. So come with me as we shift the story together. All right, we're ready to record. So Laura, this is what we're talking about today is shifts, the shifts that you've made in your life. And I read your bio and went, oh my God, you have made so many.
I'm not done.
I kind of believe that. I think of myself as me making so many that I don't know where. I feel like I've had 20 lifetimes. And I look at yours and I think maybe you're on the same kind of path. So what, I don't know which one to ask you about is the most, what was the most profound or the hardest, or which one do you want to start with? Because I didn't know where to go. You're a writer, you're a singer, you're a Christian Science practitioner, you've moved, you've just done stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the one that was probably the most profound, although, you know, I had the same thought when you asked me to think about this, was, you know, it's like, well, I've had this and I've had that, and then I'm in the middle of one now, and or I think I am, maybe, possibly, hopefully. I've come to really love the shifts, and that's, I think, what's really interesting, is that I realized as I was thinking about this that the shifts are really more about just becoming more yourself, becoming more in tune with who you are, what feels right, what's natural, what we were made to be. And it's kind of giving up the false boundaries on what is possible. And it's also kind of remaining childlike enough to know that there's going to be something else that might appear, and being ready for that and saying that doesn't mean what I did before was wrong or what I will do later is the answer to everything, but that it's an evolving sort of revelation of more of what is me, what makes me happiest, not trying to become something else, but being more myself. And I've been discovering that over time. And I want to say I kind of pinpointed even that thought as I was thinking about talking with you today about this. And so I guess my example of what would be maybe the one that felt like the most profound shift and also one that felt the most like sort of finding myself, and that I think also ended up leading to some more of the other shifts, I think, too, that happened and that are going to continue to happen, like my music evolving and becoming something kind of late in my life that's original music that I do is kind of special. But I think it kind of came from this other shift, and I guess to talk about it a little, just a little background was, I did broadcast journalism and radio news for a while, and kind of that didn't work as well for me as I would have liked. Although I was good at it, it just didn't satisfy my heart or my checkbook. And at some point I
got to do one.
that kind of fell away pretty naturally, and I was relieved about it rather than one of those like, well, I was going this direction, I got my degree in this, I should keep doing this. And I ended up kind of just making ends meet, working at the state doing technical writing there and paying my bills and doing a good job and doing all the things that bringing some of my skills as a writer editor into the work that I was doing enough to feel like I was at least sort of in my line of work. I had gotten my degree in broadcast journalism and I really loved writing. But I found that the only times I ever really felt at peace and joyful and even alive, to put it, I don't want to be bold about it, but that the one I really felt the most alive was at the end of the day, and I'd go out and I'd write poetry down by the lake here in Austin, Texas, and would do metaphysical study. I'd do some study of my Christian Science that I was brought up in. I would expand my sense of spirit and truth and life and goodness and healing, and write poetry as well. And that just was the only time that I really felt like peaceful. And it kind of got to a breaking point, as these things kind of do. I just really felt in a funk and really in a sort of depressed state for quite some time doing this job. And then I'd get my little peak of time. I'd rush out of the office and think, okay, now I'm me for a minute. And it got hard enough that I had enough, I guess that God was enough in my life to give me a little perspective and say, okay, you can back away from this, take a pause, and think about why you're not happy and how you might feel more like yourself.
Yeah.
And so I took a sabbatical, asked for a sabbatical, and I was very meek about asking for things, but I was bold in doing this and asked my boss to give me a sabbatical from my job and just take a month and visit my sister in New York City, where she was living at the time, and just step away for a while. And they were pleased enough with me and trusted me enough to let me do that, which I'm grateful for. And during the month that I was in New York City, I, first of all, just felt free and more alive than I'd been. It's a city that gives you a lot of life anyway, but mm-hmm. safe and comfortable and just attuned. I don't know, just attuned to things. And I wrote poetry and wandered the streets and just prolific poetry writing. But I think in the poetry writing, which I thought was kind of my purpose, was just to explore that. The thought was so open to listening and the mass of people and all that somehow just, I don't know, there was a meeting of inspiration and love and a desire to share with and receive of this great love that I was feeling in the city. And it just led me naturally into saying, oh, I get it. This poetry thing, this listening thing, this writing thing that I'm doing is really about giving. And that's when the Christian Science practice just appeared. That was the answer. It was like, it was as clear as day. And the Christian Science practice is a healing practice, you know, helping people with any issues that they have or problems that they have. And they called me and we listen and pray together and share ideas and listen to each person's needs and try to help them. And I just felt this just yearning to do that. And so quit my job, moved to New York City, and started the Christian Science practice. And it was interesting that the shifting up to the shift seemed really desperate and hard and challenging and all that, but the decision was just as easy as anything. I had no fear at all. Wow. And everything's just kind of opened up ever since. I have ended up moving back to Austin, and that was another little shift and a right one, where I ended up meeting my husband and all that too. But the New York experience was exactly right, everything just opened up from there on and still continues to do that. And I immediately started taking patients. That just happened naturally. I had challenges along the way with money and all that, but that was part of the practice too, was kind of learning as we go. And I think that's what I've discovered too, is that really, and I don't know that I did it that well even at the time, but kind of in retrospect, that sense of just, it's one step at a time. This is the step. It may feel to the outward appearing like a huge shift, but just like the Christian Science practice was for me, it wasn't a big leap. It was a step. And it was just like, okay, this is where I'm going now. And it just felt right. And if we can stay sort of in that step-by-step just trusting where we are now and loving it for what it is, the next one just kind of unfolds very naturally if we don't get out ahead of ourselves or start looking back and analyzing too much.
Wow. That's step by step. I so agree with you. It's like it's an unfolding. It's a step by step. And when we look too far ahead and think, well, where is this going to take me? Then sometimes we're afraid to take that step. But
I think we limit it, too. I think we kind of limit, this is where I'm going to go, and that's how I'm going to end up. And, you know, the universe, God, just really has a bigger, more options than we're seeing. And if you're in that narrow-minded way of this is where I'm going, you're not always as open to see. And I think that's what I felt in New York. Just the world was my oyster for a while, and it made me open to what was really natural was very much me, but that what I might not have seen had I been thinking too much about what the right thing to do was. You know, it just was, that was what it was because I was open to it.
Wow. And that was somewhere in 98 or so that you started healing practice. I didn't realize how long you've been doing the healing practice.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I feel like I'm still learning it every day, though. It's new, and there's changes to it, and I've had, you know, little transitions within there, but the consistent thing has always been that I've been taking patience and practicing and healing. There's been a lot more writing that's come along the way that has kind of developed, and I think that helped develop my desire to do music for myself, because I kind of began to trust that I was clear enough and ready enough to do things and not to be judging it too much, I think. And that just the judgment falling away and the being thing kind of ends up opening up a lot of new things.
Yeah, that judgment thing can get any kind of judgment. But it's interesting because usually when we talk about judgment, we're thinking we're judging other people, but it's usually ourselves.
Yeah, that's what I find too. That's what I find too.
Not good enough somehow. And so your sister must have followed you back down to Austin since you now play with her?
Yes. She stayed there. She had been there for 10 years and she had her own. In fact, we were just talking about this. She kind of had her own shift and he kind of did the opposite of what I did. And she was pounding the pavement trying to make it in musical theater in New York City and had done it for so long, trying to fit in the little mold of what happened and how you could make it. And I think she sometimes, even when I would talk to her, kind of couldn't see the forest for the trees because it seemed like, you know, New York is where it's at. You have to be here and you have to do that. And then suddenly it just ended. And in fact, one of those other things that happens, I find with shifts sometimes, and if you're a little alert to it, you lose the fear in it, is that she actually got quite ill and her perspective started to change during that time. She ended up doing a show away from New York and was kind of still struggling with this challenge at the time, but made it through and kind of, she went to a little city in Wisconsin, actually, that she knew people that were from there and played. And she looked around and she saw this beautiful place and she thought, you know, it doesn't, I can be a, I can enjoy and love what I'm doing and really give of what means something to me. And it doesn't have to be what the world says is important and special and gaining. And she got real perspective there. And then it just made her want to, it just, the New York thing just suddenly just lost all. She couldn't do it anymore. She saw through that. And we both still love New York. It's not a slight on that. It's a wonderful place. Yeah. But it was time for her to come too. And she came down, actually before I moved back a little bit, stayed with my mom who had moved to Austin too from other places.
Oh,
and,
totally.
She also didn't know, she didn't know what she was going to do and whether she was going to stay or whatever else. And she said she walked down, she went to a church service, and on the way back from the church service, she drove by a little rental and just happened to have a little sign out, and she just saw it and she said, okay, maybe I'll live there. And she walked in, she talked to them and they gave her the place on the, saw her, liked her. And the landlord happened to be there, which he usually wasn't, and just gave her the place on the spot, and she moved in and loved it. And it was just a little space that was just right for her. And so she knew, she also had that kind of answer right on the spot, like yeah. I did when I went to New York. It was like, I don't know. And then it was like, oh, or I'll just move here. Okay.
Yeah. It's so, that's what you said about the universe always has so much more provided for us. And the interesting part is it's always just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
It's always the timing of things just always makes me get little tingles, because you can't, it for me, the shift thing often is about realizing that I can't make things happen. Mm-hmm. I have to follow what guidance I have and stop trying to make things happen, because there's no way you could make the things as simple sounding as finding the rental at the right time in the right place and the right person. You can't make that happen.
No, you can't make that happen. And I think maybe something significant too is just that we trust those pauses that we,
yes,
because sometimes we get so frantic in our heads, and I think, you know, I'm trying to find the answer and I can't, and pros and cons and blah, 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 and it's like, just pause. I think I've found probably the best answers in the pause. And we have to trust that the pause doesn't mean we're not working out our life. We are. We're letting God work out our life. We're letting it be natural and clear and not so much about, you know, the arguments that the human mind will always try to come up with, or yay or nay. But the pause, and we just have to, the pause isn't always as long as we think it's going to be. We don't have to panic, because if we take the pause and we take it honestly and really take it like a child to just recess, it ends up just, stuff just opens up. You're refreshed, you're clear, and things are right there, because they really are, the answers are already there. It's a matter of sort of being still long enough to hear them.
That is so true. Well, I'm so curious that you said you're in the middle of a shift right now. What is that? What are you doing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there's just a sense of there being more to discover than what is going on right now. And then when I say I'm in the middle of a shift, I haven't paused long enough to know what that is, but I feel
it. You feel it.
Yeah. I when you've been through as many as I have, you start to sort of recognize the signs that wait a minute, maybe I need to be still and listen a little bit for something that you know that God wants to tell me now. And I, like I said at the beginning of the conversation, that was thinking about when you asked me to think about this idea, was that sense of just, I don't know that I'm as much found the myself as I need to. And so it's more of a, maybe not a physical shift of things, but a discovery, a more childlikeness, more giving up of things that may be limiting me even mentally. So I feel like I'm ready to let go, I think, of some things, fears or limits that I may not have even realized I had. And I think I'm ready to, that I'm at a point where I'm going to, that I want to and feel that I may be shifting out of some of the little box that I may have not realized I was even in. So if that makes sense.
It makes so much sense, because I feel like that myself at the moment. So that's so well said. And yes, that's it. So, well, if I were in Austin, I would come hear you play. But where can people find you as a practitioner? As I know, I'm going to put it in the show notes. But do you want to tell people your favorite place for them to find you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have a blog on WordPress, which is Being Free Now, and my website, which needs some updating but also has all the vitals on it, is also beingfreenow.com.
Perfect.
So you can find me there. And if you Google Laura Molitor CS, you should find some other ways of, you know, getting to that again if you need to.
Exactly. And I will make sure that there's little links for people to come find you, because I know that you've helped me tremendously at times. So
thank you.
I want other people to get that help too. So I have one last question. Do you have one favorite? I think I heard a few of them when you were talking, but maybe you want to just say one last piece of advice you'd give anyone who might be in the midst of changing their life story or shifting their story.
I think maybe just be willing to have a clean slate, start with today, and let the infinite write your story instead of doing it yourself. And that means giving up all of yesterday and just being in the moment with that clean page and letting God do the writing of your life and enjoying that. You're still going to be a wonderful main character that love loves, but start free and clean in this moment. I think that's probably one of the main things that I like to tell people to remember, and know that you can do it. You don't have to remember this, that, or the other, or worry about what's going on in the future. We just be free and ready for this day. Clean page, clean slate, innocent, good new life.
Oh my gosh. I don't know of any better advice. Thank you so much, Laura. That was just beautiful. Thank you for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been my pleasure.
Listening to Laura, I was reminded once again how important it is to be willing to start each day with, as she says, a clean page and letting the infinite write your story. She has certainly followed that idea and showed us the way. Links to Laura and what she does is in the show notes for this episode, which you will find at theshift.com/podcast. Go see, support Laura, write her a comment on the website or iTunes, and for heaven's sakes, go listen to her sing with her sister, Heavenly. The link is in the show notes. And while you are at iTunes, would you rate this podcast and leave a review? Thank you. And here's your shift hack for today. Pause, listen, and follow. Or, as we say in the shift community, POLA. Pause, observe, listen, take action. Try it. Let me know what happens. Till next time, let's just keep shifting the story together.